Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 7, Episode 127. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and sitting in once again for my co-host David Todd, as he's done all offseason, is SteelersDepot.com's own Alex Cazora. Alex, the clock has reached triple, quadruple zeros, and let me ask you, did you enjoy watching the grass grow today?
Or the paint dry. And yeah, it's unfortunate. I thought we would have better news to talk about today, Dave. I wasn't completely confident, but, you know, as I've said many times, I thought a deal would get done with Le'Veon Bell, and of course it has not. So the dance will continue after the season.
Yeah, and be careful using the good news term, because several listening to this show will consider what didn't happen today as good news. The Steelers did indeed fail to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term contract extension prior to the 4 p.m. deadline on Monday, and that now means that the running back, if he's going to play, which he will, he'll have to do so underneath the franchise tag at $12.12 million. Not bad work if you can get that kind of stuff. I obviously, you know, all along was more optimistic with this thing, thinking that a deal would eventually get done. However, you know, there were reasons along the way to think that it would not get done. I think we outlined it, you know, more than once, more than twice, more than four times over the course of the offseason. I thought Joel Corey put it best in kind of his latest interview that he gave on NBC Sports Radio. And look, the market just didn't match what the probable asking price was. And then when you stack up the back-to-back franchise tags and use the formulas, you know, when it comes to the guaranteed money and such, and then when you consider how volatile the running back position is when it comes to possible injuries and the amount of touches possibly that one good running back such as Le'Veon Bell could get during a regular season, factor in his off the field problems and his previous injury concerns, you could probably say, hey, it's no wonder the deal didn't get done. But the fact that it didn't, now we can move on from the will it or won't it discussion and immediately turn our attentions to kind of what the next kind of time frame is with Le'Veon Bell. And that, of course, would be 10 days from today, the start of the Steelers training camp. And there's already a lot of speculation that Le'Veon Bell won't show up for the start of training camp, and it's his right not to do so, being as how he has yet to sign the franchise tag. We've talked about it. I mean, I understand why he wouldn't sign the tag right now and potentially why he wouldn't show up to camp on time, but it's not like any of that's going to change what has already happened, or in his case, what really hasn't happened yet, because it's out of the Steelers' control right now. They cannot sign him to a long-term deal until after the 2017 season is over.
Correct. Dave, if I I want to backtrack for a second, because I want to get your opinion, because you have, I think, the best pulse that I know of contracts, negotiations, and how tricky that they are. And you did touch on it a second ago, but obviously, you don't know any of the exact details of negotiation, what was offered, the counters, etc. But if you had to guess, what might have been the number one, you know, gap in the deal, the number one issue that prevented a deal from getting done?
I think the guaranteed money and the cash flow over the first 3 years of the deal, and, you know, obviously how much guarantees for players not named Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, if you look back even at the recent big deals, David DeCastro, Cameron Hayward, Marquise Pouncey, You know, they only like to give that signing bonus as a guaranteed money. Now, obviously, there's injury guarantees, you know, that are involved in such deals. And then, you know, potential roster bonuses due before the start of the, you know, come the fifth day of the following league year. But you know, I think more than anything, it just came down to guaranteed money. And one would think, you know, percentage, you know, probably, and this is just me guessing, probably best case scenario for Bell was he would have got, let's say, an $18 million signing bonus. And that, in my opinion, probably a little bit high in that. Mm-hmm. So he's betting that, you know, that he would take his $12 million this year, and what he would get either from the Steelers in the form of a franchise tag next year or from in way of a contract or guaranteed money from another team next offseason was a more lucrative avenue instead of signing a long-term deal that probably wouldn't have guaranteed anything, you know, more than, you know, like I said, 15, 18, maybe even 20 million at the most. But I really find it hard to believe that the Steelers' best deal would have included a signing bonus such as that. So, I mean, deals don't get done for a lot of various reasons, and right. I would guess that in Bell's case, it's the guaranteed money.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense, and I think that's the best way to look at it. But as you started to talk about, Dave, going into camp now, you're right that Bell has the right to skip camp and come back whenever he pleases. He's not under contract. He's not signed as franchise tender. He's in control of when he officially, I guess, becomes a Pittsburgh Steeler again. You know, and I had forgotten about this, and it is a good point that Eric Berry did this last year and showed up, I think, with a week left in camp after getting tagged and quote-unquote holding out. I just think it would be the dumbest thing in the world for Bell to do. You know, he's already missed all the spring, and Roethlisberger was already frustrated, I think, by that. He kind of made that clear, I think, on day one or day two of OTAs, and now you're missing camp as well. And it's not like, you know, the counter to this is the rigors of camp. It's Le'Veon Bell. There's no rigors for Le'Veon Bell. You're going to be protected. It's like James Harrison. You're not going to get much work. You might not even practice the first 2 weeks. Get in there, get with your team that you haven't been with so far, and let's all be hand in the pile to avoid these distractions and start coming together as a unit to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's just another level of drama that in my opinion, is unnecessary. Now, look, once he does sign that tag, he's obligated to attend everything at that point moving forward. But like you said, you wouldn't expect him. You know, the biggest thing is he protects himself. He can't get injured if he doesn't practice at all or play in any preseason games. And some can argue, well, the preseason doesn't mean anything. Practice doesn't mean anything for a player like him. But yeah, I think it does mean something. I mean, there's some nuances of the offense that we think will change. Like it or not, I think a running back getting or any player getting bounced around a little bit during camp and going through, you know, a certain set of drills is obviously better than possibly you know, training on your own is showing up. Now, make no mistake, Le'Veon Bell, as we've seen in the past, at, you know, in his videos that he's posted from his time with down in Miami with Pete Bomarito in that training facility down there, which, by the way, it appears that is where Le'Veon Bell spent Monday at down there with Bomarito. You know, he can do a lot of the same things and maybe even more in Miami than he would do at training camp. But I think there's still something to be said for spending some time with team and getting the necessary reps done. And look, you know, like it or not, and even though some of his teammates will say, oh, that's, you know, it's Le'Veon Bell's right to not show up right now. There's still some eyes going to be slanted his direction, I think, and most notably from Ben Roethlisberger and some of the other veterans on the team. They want him there as opposed to him not being there.
And from the Rooneys and Kevin Colbert, you know, that holding out has rarely ever resulted in a good resolution for any player. Think about Hines Ward and his holdout. Team wouldn't negotiate till he reported to camp. Obviously, the team can't negotiate here, but you get the gist. And, you know, the good news is the Steelers and Bell and his agent, they all seem to have a pretty good working relationship right now. It's not like the other two franchise guys with Tremaine Johnson in L.A. where that's a mess. And now, especially in Washington with Kirk Cousins, you know, they don't get the deal done. And right at the deadline, Bruce Allen puts out a statement outlining the money they offered him and basically making Kirk Cousins to be the bad guy there. Very toxic situation. So Bell and the Steelers have a good thing going, and I think holding out of camp and doing what I think is a pretty selfish thing to do would hinder and hamper that relationship that the team has. Now, you could argue that that doesn't really matter, and it's worth that risk, I guess, and that's your opinion, and that's fine, but I don't think it's a smart move. And, you know, to get into the hypotheticals of, well, he could get hurt. I mean, if he doesn't report to camp, he's still going to train. He's still working out. He's going to do it off-site, obviously. What if he gets hurt there? What if he tears an ACL in drills and training? Now he hasn't signed his tender. Now he has a torn ACL. Could the team in that situation rescind their off franchise tag? And who knows what the mess could be from there. So there's risk either way. Do the thing that's best for the team and for yourself to get into camp, be around your guys. There's a lot of intrinsic benefit to being around the team, mentoring James Conner, just being that presence and showing, hey, guys, we're all on the same page here. I think it's just the smartest move, you know, through and through.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, look, I mean, he's posted videos of him playing basketball, and I mean, and you know, he does those hoop drills and all, and various cutting and all those kind of drills down there at Bomarito's camp in Miami. Anything can happen. I mean, all right. I mean, look, I mean, Robert Edwards years ago during fooling around on the beach during, you know, prior to the Pro Bowl, messed up his knee and ultimately ended his career. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's one thing if you had an ounce of leverage as you know, concerning this year. But at this point, I mean, holding out doesn't do anything more for you right now than it, you know, than it would moving forward, because the Steelers just they can't do anything at this point. So, right. And why would you just want to become a distraction? You know, show up, sign your tender. At least at that point, you're fully guaranteed. You know, your $12.12 million at that point. You know, then move forward and do your best to put together the best season possible and start showing that you know you deserve the franchise tag next year. And then, you know, that's now a good talking point as well too. Regardless of the season that Bell has in 2017, is it going to be worth the $14.5 million franchise tag?
Right. That's really tough. I mean, you know, if the team didn't offer him 12.5 this year, or whatever the number might have been, probably not offering him $14 million average yearly value next year. So that's going to create another hurdle. But just I want to go back to this year real quick, Dave. You know, if I'm Pittsburgh and if Bell, you know, comes into camp, you know, day one, obviously work with Bell. You know, my plan in my head is sit him out the first 2 weeks, no practices at all. There's no risk of injury for you. You're still around your team. You get the benefits of being with your team while you don't assume the risk of practicing and risking injury. Then play him and practice him the third week for the third preseason game, shut him down for the fourth week. In that scenario, Bell is doing the same thing in terms of workload as he would be if he held out like Eric Berry did last year, where he's not participating until the third week, but without the scrutiny of not being around your team, all those question marks, and the distraction that you're going to create by not being there. I think that's a win-win for each side. Does that not sound like the perfect plan to handle Le'Veon Bell in camp?
Well, the thing is, too, look, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's coming off a groin surgery. So you're you were already, even if he had signed a deal prior to the deadline today, you were already going to be careful with him. And, you know, Kevin Colbert said as much. Way, you know, back around the time of the combine, we're not going to rush Le'Veon Bell. We want him 100% healthy by the start of the regular season. So, to me, if Bell runs upstairs right now and signs that franchise tender, it's not going to change. It's not going to all of a sudden say, all right, well, we're going to work him a little bit harder during training camp, in my opinion. But, you know. I guess I can understand why he wouldn't, you know, from the sheer aspect of you know, not making sure that he wants to stay healthy and sort of, I guess, sending some sort of message towards next year, which I'm still trying to.
There's no message, and you and I know we agree on that. There's no message.
Yeah,
there.
I'm trying to figure out what that message would be. But I mean, you already have Joel Corey saying don't expect Bell to show up until a couple weeks ahead of the regular season. And I think Adam Schefter said the same thing earlier today. And I find it, show me something there that there's to gain by not doing this. I guess the only thing I can come up with is the remote possibility that the Steelers pull the tag out from underneath him, and then he's a free agent. Then he can sign a long-term deal with any team and get more than $12.12 million this year. I guess that would be the only advantage to not signing it
I don't think it's that. I think it's the simplest answer of avoiding the injury risk. But I think in the plan that I've laid out, which as you correctly pointed out, Dave, is probably the Steelers' intentions already. I mean, you look at last year, coming off the injury too. He had 29 carries in 11 non-joint practices. He did the Lions practice too, the two joint ones, but that was non-contact, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, the guy had less than 3 carries per practice last year. It's not like he's getting worked that hard. You can probably work him less this year. So, I think the idea, if he were to hold out, quote-unquote hold out, it's not really the correct term, skip camp, that it would be to protect himself from injury. But I think even that is very faulty logic.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is what it is at this point, as Mike Tomlin would like to say. So now we'll sit here for the next, even though we feel like, oh man, thank God this the clock ticked to all zeros here at 4 Eastern Monday. Well, now there's a new clock started, and that's 10 days from now when the team reports to Latrobe for training camp. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is 2017 Bell's final season in Pittsburgh?
My guess is no, but I thought a deal would get done today. But I go back to the goodwill between the organization and player that they both want to get a deal done. Bell wants to stay in Pittsburgh. The Steelers want to keep Bell long term. The ability for the Steelers to still tag Bell, worst case scenario, and the fact that you have to think they made considerable progress at least today, and that is going to only help them. After the season, then they get back to negotiations. They have a really strong starting point to go off of instead of wherever trying to get it all worked out in 24 hours. But no guarantee. It's going to obviously depend on what kind of season he has, not in terms of performance because he'll play well, but injury, off the field, all those variables that you can't predict. But if I had to give an answer right now, yes, Bell will be a Steeler. I just don't know if it's tag or long-term deal.
Well, here's the thing. If he has a great season in 2017, or one that matches what we've seen in the past, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to exceed last year's numbers, although you think because the amount of games he played last year versus you're hoping at least that he would play 15 and 15 only in 2017, because that would mean you don't need him for the 16th and final game, and thus you can rest him. You would tend to think that he's got a good chance of beating last year's numbers just because of the sheer fact of the amount of games that he played. But man, $14.5 million is a lot of money. Now, if he does have that kind of season, though, why would he work out a long-term deal knowing that he's going to get at least 14? And, you see where I'm going? Because, there's still a third tag that could be in play on top of him. I mean, we're back to the same situation that we were in this year with him. In other words, if he has a good year and the Steelers don't pony up and pay him, even more than they probably would have been willing to pay him this year, then odds are good that they would have to use the franchise tag on him again. And as we sit here more, a year out, man, that's a lot of money. Yeah, the salary cap goes up and everything's probably incrementally, percentage-wise the same, but you had the potential of a few more players, you know, look, you know, Antonio Brown's going to have a higher cap number next year, and then you run the chance of, you know, the Tua deal gets done and Alejandro Villanueva's deal gets done this offseason, then a little bit higher numbers for them as well. And then, oh, yeah, you know, they're going to be looking to sign Ryan Shazier long term, we would think, over a year from now. It just, man, it just – $14.5 million is a lot of money to pay for a running back who could potentially be coming off back-to-back 300-touch seasons.
Yeah, that would be the franchise tag's never ideal, and no team or player likes to have to use it, the player, because you don't get any sort of long-term security, and for the team, it takes up such a large chunk of cap space. So that's kind of a you know, break in case of emergency option. And certainly not the one the Steelers would want to go with, but you know, could come down to that. So it's impossible to say. I'm still optimistic because of the goodwill, the progress that's been made, the fact that the negotiations were basically all day today, and by report so intense, shows that each side is acting in good faith, wants to get the deal done. Each team, you know, each side wants to work something out, but. You know, before you visit it, we'll have a lot of off-season storylines to talk about, Dave, with Ben's, you know, will he, won't he retire, and Bell, and God knows what else comes up. We'll be busy in the spring.
You know, and with him facing he would be silly not to at least let it get to the point where he forces the tag to be placed on him, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be something that will get done right after the season. Again, deadline spur action, just like today, it's gonna take some time before any long-term deal gets done.
So, in other words, you're not expecting him to sign a new long-term deal anywhere between after the season ends up until the start, come the time, the deadline to place a franchise tag on him. So you think he'll, at worst, at least wear the tag in 2018?
Either that or he gets a deal done right before the deadline to tag him. He never actually gets the tag. I mean, the player and the agent's going to use any bit of leverage that they have, and you know, next year Bell will have, you know, considerable more leverage with the tag option, and the fact that, you know, if the Steelers don't want to tag him, that Bell could become a free agent. So I think he'll try to obviously work that to his advantage, which is his right and the smart thing to do. I'm all for players getting paid what they're worth, and Bell's worth elite money because he's an elite player. So I don't know exactly when it would get done, and you have a better eye on those things than I do, but I don't think it's going to be something that happens, you know, 2 weeks after the season ends. It's going to take a little while.
I don't know. You give me too much credit there. I thought a deal would get done this year, you know, you know, with all that said, I'm not very optimistic about him playing for $14.5 million next year. And here's the other thing. I mean, if he is injured in 2018 and maybe doesn't have the season that most of us, you know, think he's a possibility of having, well, do you really want to sign? Oh, how low do you go at that point, you know, on both sides?
Right. It's a good point. I can't really answer that.
And boy, I don't know. Well, here's the worst case scenario. The Steelers will have Bell in 2017. In some form or fashion, we would think, come the start of the regular season. And then, you know, I think really all bets are off after that. I'm not optimistic. I'm not optimistic that he'll be in a Steelers uniform in 2018. You could obviously let him walk via free agency. And one would think, get a third round compensatory pick for the following offseason and letting him do so. Geez, it's just this far out right now and staring at a $14.5 million. Let me tell you, he's got every incentive in the world right now to have a solid season and keep himself not only healthy, which sometimes you can't control that, but obviously keep himself out of trouble with the league as well too.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we'll see what happens. I'm more optimistic than you, I guess, for 2018, But you know, you're better with the cap stuff than me. You know, we can't all be 100%, and I'm trying to butter you up because I think I got a fifth year option coming up here for Depot. You got to pick up. Hoping you pick it up.
No, you're good. Well, here's the thing.
That's I wish the negotiation was that easy with Colbert and Bell. You're good. Let's get it done.
Yeah, because you have no bargaining power.
I want a new CBA. I'm striking. I like Richard Sherman.
You're the equivalent of a just only having to put like a second round tender on you.
I don't get the first round tender.
Well, no, yeah, I mean you're not eligible for the tag. I mean you don't have enough accrued seasons right now. So you know, basically I have you kind of under my thumb right now, much in the same way the Steelers have Alejandro Villanueva under their thumb. So a perfect way to kind of segue right there.
Well done.
We were going to turn our attention to this regardless of what happened to Bell. You know, on Monday, signing Bell long term or not signing Bell long term, in my opinion, really has no bearing on what may or may not ultimately happen with guys like Stephon Tuitt and Alejandro Villanueva. The Steelers were in good shape cap wise, even with that $12.12 million tag number with Bell sitting out there. Sure, it could have gotten lowered some. Potentially had the Steelers, you know, struck a new deal with him, but it's not a make or break scenario now. It's like, oh, well, we didn't get Bell signed, couldn't lower his cap number. That means we have to choose between, you know, some of these other players. No, you find a way, you know, even if you were more up against the cap, we've seen the Steelers in the past, you know, you find a way to keep your good players, and sign them long-term if at all possible, because you never know when the next good player at a certain position might come along. So you always try to keep your own. And thus, you know, my view with Stephon Tuitt all offseason has been that they will get a long-term contract extension worked out with him prior to the start of the regular season. Obviously, that's a self-imposed deadline by the Steelers, you know, the start of the regular season. And basically here we are 10 days away from camp, and then another, what, four weeks of preseason. I mean, we're what, a month and a half, a little bit more, maybe away from the start of the regular season. There's no reason to think that a deal won't get done with Stephon Tuitt. Now, how much, you know, look, I think you can look at what Cameron Hayward got average yearly value and maybe percentage of guaranteed money wise. You know, I think you can use the Hayward contract as a template, either slightly higher or a little bit lower. But I, you know, there's no reason, in my opinion, to think a deal doesn't get done with Stephon Tuitt. Villanueva is a different story for a lot of the reasons that I just kind of brought up when I was teasing with you there. You know, you have, even though he's yet to sign his exclusive rights tender of $615,000, Villanueva, if he wants to play in 2017, will have to do that. And one would think that would happen within the next 10 days. If not, he's going to have to sign another one of those injury waivers, and I don't think he's willing to do that. Now, will the Steelers lock him up to a new long-term deal prior to, you know, before the next 10 days are out? That's a possibility, I think. But even so, you know, you look at, you know, if Villanueva, if they didn't sign him long-term and let him play out, you know, his 1 year exclusive rights tender that he has. Well, then how do they keep him next year and prevent him from hitting free agency? Well, you just slap a second round restricted tender on him at that point. And then, you know, you basically have him at well, way below market value for starting left tackles. I mean, way below, you know, at that point. And then it's in Villanueva's best interest, in my opinion, to go ahead and sign a deal that would at least allow him to pocket what he would make over the course of the next 2 years, as opposed, because look, he can't go anywhere, and he would have to bet that he'd play good for the next 2 years, and then hope the Steelers either used the franchise tag on him or allowed him to test free agency after 2 years. So the Steelers kind of have Villanueva under their thumb. I would think, and I've kind of written all along, that the ceiling average, you know, the ceiling as far as average yearly income or part of a new contract with him would be around $6 million, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. $6 million is, of course, what fellow tackle Marcus Gilbert earns a year right now. It would still result in Villanueva being severely underpaid as far as starting left tackles in the league go. But, oh, yeah, I mean, the Steelers got him – at the right time and the type of contract that expired and made him an exclusive rights free agent, and then ultimately after next season a restricted free agent as well too. So those are the two guys, quite honestly, and I've been wrong before on these. I would be surprised if Villanueva and Tuitt do not have new deals in hand come the start of the 2017 regular season.
Yeah, no, I pretty much agree with everything you said across the board, and with Villanueva, even if, you know, he becomes an RFA next year and you put a second round tender on him, if someone offers a contract, and I think there could be interest for Villanueva, a rare case of that, the Steelers would have the ability to match that offer, of course, and retain Villanueva or let him go and get the pick in return. I think the former would be a lot more ideal. We'll see what happens. It's funny, and maybe this is unfair for me to say, I don't know, but it's funny that I see some fans actually say, you know, Bell, sit out camp. I don't care. Go ahead and sit out camp. Come back whenever you want. But no one's saying that for Villanueva. You know, no one's saying Villanueva take 3 weeks off camp, and because you haven't signed your tender yet, you don't have to be there. They can't find you and come back whenever. You know, that's just I don't know. Maybe that means nothing. But no, I think Villanueva will get done. I think Tuitt will get done. You know, Shazier is probably less than 50-50. But to retain Tuitt and Villanueva long term, that would be huge.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing too about Bell. Flip side is I'm seeing on Twitter some people saying, "Well, this shows he doesn't want to be with be in Pittsburgh long term." No, I mean, look, how can you say that Bell doesn't want to be in Pittsburgh long term? You know, if we don't even know the numbers of the deal, we can speculate till the cows come home. And I know there's already been reports. I think from some major media guys saying that the Steelers had the average yearly amount, more than a franchise tag on the table for Bell, but the guaranteed money wasn't there. I mean, really, who knows that? I mean, is Adisa Bakari going to tell a media guy that? I mean, I suppose it's possible, but personally, I would be shocked if that was the case, you know, with Bell. I mean, I guess it's possible, but we're never, unless Kevin Colbert comes out and writes a book or Adisa Bakari actually confirms that he's the source of this, of what the deal was on the table, all we can do is speculate, you know, what the best deal might have been, and even then we might be wrong enough to make it the tipping point, you know, with this. So don't get down on Bell because he didn't sign a new deal. Business is business, as they say when they come to situations such as this, and I find it hard to get down on him in situations such as this.
And that's why, you know, when I say the relationship in Washington with Kirk Cousins is toxic, it's because the organization and Bruce Allen in particular, they do things to try to get fans to put pressure on the player and create negative press for the player. That's why Washington and Bruce Allen came out and talked about all the money they offered Kirk Cousins back in May. That was not in the interest of transparency or in good faith or anything like that. That was a calculated move to get fans to go, look at all this money you're making, Kirk Cousins, $53 million guaranteed, which, by the way, actually is not all guaranteed. That's all, you know, for fans to go, look how much money you're making. I can't believe you wouldn't take that. Players deserve this kind of money for the things they go through, the way they put their body through all this, the long-term effects, health-wise, that they're going to have. The NFL is a billions and billions, you know, dollar business, and players still only get a fraction of that money, and they deserve every penny that they can get. So I'm all for defending Bell, and I understand the decision to not sign a long-term deal today. I'm bummed out by it, of course, as a fan, but I totally get it. But, you know, once the season starts and camp starts and it's time for you to be with your team, you've explored all options financially, get a long-term deal, which is now over. It's time to be in camp and be with your team.
Had Bell not been suspended for the for the last two seasons, and had he stayed healthy, I mean, it's a lot of ifs there, but after season three, his third year, upon him entering his fourth and final year of his rookie contract, do you think a deal would have been done by now?
I think it would have been. Had it not, though, it would have made the situation even more interesting, because then Bell's number goes up even more, because the only things you can really use against him is just the injury history and the suspension as risks for the Steelers to take. That's kind of the little bit of leverage they had. Kevin Colbert's basically given up the suspension leverage by saying he thinks Bell's a good guy and isn't going to do that stuff again. So that would have made things even more interesting. But I think that a deal could have been done last year, and then this wouldn't be a conversation. I agree.
But remember, you still had the Adrian Peterson contract on the books, Marshawn Lynch, right? Several of these guys.
Jamal Charles.
Several of these guys' deals were still on the books. So he still would have been gunning for – I mean, obviously, if he would have played, let's say, in – let's see, what's 32 – 48 out of possible 48 regular season games, and then, of course, saw whatever playoff games they would have been eligible to suit him up for as well, too, then – I mean, he was going to ask top dollar, one would think, even back then. So I think it's, half a dozen one, six of another, right? As far as whether a deal would have gotten done back then versus what it could have been, today. So, and there's no guarantee that a deal would have gotten done, after year three, regardless of all that, because of the money, that he may or may not have been looking for at a time.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
But, I mean, there's so many ifs and buts. I mean, I don't think how you can either even kind of frame an argument around all that right now. But the fact of the matter...
What you're saying, if and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Yeah, isn't that what you say?
Yeah, my old man uses a few other words in there.
Not about candy and nuts, I'm guessing.
Well, something about that, but a couple other colorful words I think in there he's used with me in the past as well. But, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see what the next 10 days ends up holding for us, and what ultimately is the outcome following the 2017 season. But I mean, it's still a good time to be a Steelers fan, because as I said, he has every incentive to really have himself out on that field as much as possible during the 2017 season. And he's definitely a back that, if he does play in, let's say, 15 or 16 regular season games, can put up 2,500 yards. And the Steelers definitely need him in order to make, in my opinion, to make a deep playoff run, a potential win a Super Bowl. However, we've seen in the past that teams have gotten by with less.
Yeah, things are still good right now. That's an important perspective to keep. The offense still looks great on paper. It's going to be an exciting year. Steelers are going to, obviously make a run after New England to win the AFC and hopefully, go to the Super Bowl. So, I'm bummed, like I said, and I think a lot of Steelers fans, or at least some, maybe less than I thought, are bummed like me that a deal did not get finalized. But, Bell could still come back. This team still has options. And again, the bottom line, I know I keep harping back on it, but I think it's a really important point, Dave, is that the relationship between Bell, his agent, and the Steelers organization is really strong. And I think that's going to be the best, give themselves the best possible chance to get a long-term deal done after the season.
Here's a tweet that's just coming across, I'm assuming from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. It's underneath the Pro Football Talk Twitter account. It says, difference between Pittsburgh and Washington. Obviously, he's referring to Kirk Cousins and Le'Veon Bell situations. One team won't try to make a star player look greedy. Other team will.
Exactly. I mean, you can't say that any better. And that's why I said earlier about Bruce Allen releasing that statement about the numbers. That's not to be a good guy. That's not to be transparent. That's not for the fans' benefit. It's to get fans mad at the player. And that's just bad business that you will never, ever see the Steelers do. You'll never even a book, later on Colbert writes. He might write a book. He won't talk about that stuff, though. He'll say, turn the page.
Do you buy that negotiations were even close? How do you envision Monday went for Bell and the Steelers? Do you believe that several deals were passed back and forth, or do you believe that pretty much what the Steelers deal has probably been on the table for some time now is the one that was out there all day Monday?
I like to think there was a back and forth. They said intense negotiations, so I think that would imply that there's some sort of give and take. It's hard to say exactly how it went. I believe that Omar Khan and the Bell's agent are working hard, and Kevin Colbert, I'm sure, had an ear to the situation. Sometimes Colbert isn't always physically there when stuff gets done. I don't know how close they got. My guess is that, like you hinted at, Dave, the guaranteed money for Bell's side was not enough because the Steelers try to, be a little creative with how they do stuff. They don't usually have giant signing bonuses they give to players. They want to try to protect themselves in some way, and I'm sure Bell's side didn't want to do that. So that's kind of my very vague estimation of how things went.
If I was a betting man, I would say that deal is Colbert pretty much Colbert and Omar Khan basically said, here it is. This is going to be the same one that you're going to
really
see. Yeah.
You think? You don't think it was any movement at all?
just me speculating. How are you going to change the deal that much anyway in the final hours of it? If I had to bet, it's been the same deal that maybe has been out there for quite a while, but that means absolutely nothing. It's just me speculating in this. Oh, wow. I'm glad that part of it's over, but now once again we'll turn our attention to how's reporting day going to go at Latrobe? You're going to have Ben Roethlisberger asked about his beef, or I wouldn't necessarily call it beef, but the back and forth between him and Martavis Bryant. He'll have to answer that. He'll have to answer what his thoughts are on Le'Veon Bell possibly not being around for the start of camp. A whole bunch of BS that we're going to have to write about.
But I will at least be focused on where guys are lining up, who's playing in the slot, who's running second team, defensive end.
Not on that first Thursday, you won't.
I will still be doing that because we're back to football, and that's the most exciting part. I will let other guys talk about all the nonsense.
All right, have we missed anything? Is there anything else? D'Angelo Williams evidently removed the Carolina Panthers away or off of the list of four teams that he was apparently refusing to play for after the Panthers out of nowhere. I mean, you want to talk about some shocking news on this Monday? It probably was the fact that the Panthers parted ways with Dave Gettleman, who had been I just wrote about it. He'd been with them since 2012 or 2013. D'Angelo Williams has evidently now removed the Panthers from being one of the four teams that he wasn't willing to sign with, but not like the Panthers are willing to sign D'Angelo Williams now anyway, because they did draft Christian McCaffrey in the first round of this year's draft. They still have Jonathan Stewart in town, so look, D'Angelo Williams not liking the way Dave Gettleman handled things, especially with him during his final time there in Carolina. People will remember that the Panthers cut. The writing was on the wall that D'Angelo was going to be cut, and then they kind of left him twisting in the wind somewhat and didn't officially give him his release until after the start of the 2015 league year, because they had to wait to give him his release until after the start of the league year so that they could make him a post-June 1st cut. And I'm sure that didn't sit well with D'Angelo, and neither did the fact that apparently only one player back then, Greg Hardy, was the only person from the organization to show up at his mom's funeral when she passed away back then in 2015 as well, too. So, D'Angelo's, even though D'Angelo is claiming that he still intends on playing for a team during the 2017 season, he's yet to find one to sign him, and probably going to remain unsigned well into training camp and have to wait until an injury around the league happens.
Do you think D-Will gets with any team this year at any point when he signs a contract?
Man, running backs tend to go down, don't they? Some, mm-hmm. I mean, knock
age
on,
like milk.
Knock on wood. I mean, what are the odds of all current 32 starters, you know, being in uniform come start of the regular season for one reason or the other, you know, and you see what's going on with Dallas right now. We don't know how long Ezekiel Elliott might end up missing for other things off the field related. I think D'Angelo Williams can still offer a team something. But, I mean, obviously I wouldn't be willing to sign him more than a veteran minimum at this point. That way, if you do someone I think wrote on one of the posts, oh, man, I cringe every time Dave says wishes, you know, the Steelers would re-sign D'Angelo Williams. I'd re-sign D'Angelo Williams yesterday at the veteran minimum, you know.
Yeah,
because I would. You wouldn't? Okay.
I would.
You know, I think he still has something to offer. We'll see if he ultimately signs with the team at some point. I think he will, but you know, he does have age and mileage on him right now as well too. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I you know, obviously guys are going to get hurt. It's going to open up chances for other players. My guess is that he doesn't though, and I think there is still a little bit of talent left. But what is he? 34 years old, and with him going into the wrestling thing, and teams usually wanting guys that are working out constantly, you know, for football and focusing on all that. That I think that. The teams are going to move on, and D-Will will quickly move on as well, but we'll see.
Oh, my, oh, my. What will we talk about on Friday now? Well, I'm sure something will pop up between now and then. But if you didn't get this podcast right away on Monday, please understand that we purposefully waited until after the Le'Veon Bell decision to record it and get it posted for obvious reasons. There's no sense us speculating a full another day and then having to wait until Friday to talk about it. So we appreciate your patience in regards to that. In the meantime, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Steelers Depot. If you want to follow my co-host David Todd, please do so at David M. Todd. If you want to follow Alex Cazora at Alex_Cazora. If you want to email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you want to donate to the show, you can go to SteelersDepot.com, hit that donate button, upper right navigational bar. And we appreciate you tuning in for this hour of the Le'Veon Bell Show. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.